Listening Library presents Confessions of an Imaginary Friend, a memoir by Jacques Papier, as told to Michelle Cuevas, read for you by Michael Goldstrom. Chapter 1. Everyone hates Jacques Papier. Yes, world, I'm writing my memoir, and I have titled the first chapter simply this: Everyone Hates Jacques Papier. I think it captures the exact drama of my first 8 years in the world rather poetically. Soon I'll move on to chapter 2. This is where I'll confess that the first chapter was, in fact, the truth stretched, much like the accordion body of my wiener dog, François. The stretch would be the word, everyone. There are three exceptions to this word. They are my mother, my father, my twin sister, Fleur. If you are observant, you'll notice that I did not include François the wiener dog on this list. Chapter 2. François the evil wiener dog. A boy and his dog are, quite possibly, the most classic of all classic duos, like peanut butter and jelly, like a left and right foot, like salt and pepper. And yet, my relationship with François more closely resembles peanut butter on a knuckle sandwich, a left foot in a bear trap, salt and a fresh paper cut. You get the picture. In the interest of truth, it is not entirely François's fault. The cards of life have been stacked rather steeply against him. For starters, I do not believe the person in charge of making dogs was paying attention when they attached François's stumpy legs to his banana-shaped body. Perhaps we'd all be ill-tempered if our stomachs cleaned the floor whenever we went for a walk. The day we brought him home as a puppy, François sniffed my sister and grinned. He sniffed me and began barking. A barking that has never ceased in the 8 years I've been within range of his villainous nose. Chapter 3. Papier's Puppets. It is true that papier is the French word for paper. However, my family does not make or sell paper. No, my family is in the imagination business. Are there really that many people who need puppets? Fleur asked our father. To be honest, I had often wondered the very same thing about our parents' puppet shop. Dear girl, our father answered, I think the real question is, who doesn't need a puppet? Florists, Fleur answered. Musicians? Chefs? Newscasters?
Oh, hello, father said. I'm a florist. They say talking to plants helps them grow, and now the puppet and I are chatting, and our flowers are thriving.
He spun around.
Why, look at me, the piano player, with a puppet on each hand. So now I have four arms instead of just two. I'm a chef, but instead of an oven mitt, I have a puppet to pretend with. Oh, look, I'm a newscaster who once delivered the news alone, but now have a puppet for witty banter.
Fine, Fleur said. Lonely people without anyone to talk to need puppets. Luckily, Jacques and I have each other, and we are going outside to play. I smiled, waved to our father, and followed Fleur out the door. The bell rang as we left the cool gaze of puppets and greeted the sunshine, winking at us through afternoon clouds. Chapter 4. No, really, everyone hates Jacques Papier. School. Who thought of this cruel place? Perhaps it is the same person who matches together the various pieces of wiener dogs. School is a great example of a place where everyone, and I mean everyone, hates me. Allow me to illustrate with examples from this very week. On Monday, our class played kickball. The captains chose players for their team one by one. When they got to me, they just went and started the game. I wasn't picked last. I wasn't picked at all. On Tuesday, I was the only person who knew the capital of Idaho. I had my arm in the air, even waving it around like a hand puppet on the high C. But the teacher just said, "Really? Nobody knows the answer. Nobody?" On Wednesday, at lunch, a very husky boy nearly sat on me, and I had to scramble from my seat to avoid certain death. On Thursday, I waited in line for the bus, and before I could get on, the driver shut the door right in my face. "Oh, come on!" I shouted. But the words disappeared in a cloud of exhaust. Fleur made the driver stop, got off, and walked home beside me. And so, on Friday morning, I begged my parents to let me stay home from school. They didn't even say no. They just gave me the silent treatment. Chapter 5. The Map of Us. For as long as I could remember, Flore and I had been making the map of us. There were the easy-to-draw places, the frog pond, the field with the best fireflies, and the tree where we'd carved our initials in the trunk. And there were the permanent fixtures in our world as well, like Puppet Shop Peak, the fjords of François, and the mountain top of Mom and Dad. But then there were the other places, the best places, the places that could only be found by us. There was the stream full of tears that Fleur cried when a boy at school made fun of her teeth, the spot where we buried a time capsule, and the spot where we dug up a time capsule, and the much better place where the time capsule currently resides, for now. There was the sidewalk chalk art gallery we commission each summer, and the tree where I broke the climbing record and also fell, but we didn't tell Mom and Dad. There was the place where the flamingos, the bighorn bear, and the ostrimpanzee roam and graze, and the knothole in the oak where I kept Fleur's smile, the one she does with her eyes instead of her mouth. There were hiding places, and finding places, and deep wells full of secrets. Yes, like any best friends, there was a whole world that could only be seen by her and me. Chapter 6. Maurice the Magnificent. Sometimes, on Sundays, our family would go to the local kids' museum, which was really just a bunch of bubble-blowing and old rocks and baby stuff like that. But that's not why we went. We went because on Sundays you could get free popcorn and enjoy the magic of Maurice the Magnificent. Maurice was old. I don't mean grandparent old or even great-grandparent old. I mean old. Old like the candles on his birthday cake cost more than the cake. Old like his memories were in black and white. And his tricks, they were the worst. He did one where he made a dove appear out of a phonograph. A phonograph! This guy was at least 1,000 years old. Every time we went to his show, Fleur would lean over so I could whisper my witty remarks. "Maurice is so old," I whispered. "His report card was written in hieroglyphics." Fleur covered her mouth with her hands to contain her giggles. "He's so old," I continued, "that when he was born, the Dead Sea was just coming down with a cough." Sadly, on that particular Sunday, neither of us noticed that Maurice the Magnificent had noticed us mocking his show.
"Little girl," said Maurice.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?